Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined by our contributors Jonah Serra with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. Next week, June 4th, marks the 25th anniversary of Tiananmen Square, when student-led protests in China were ruthlessly put down by the country's government. Contrast that to today, where this year, if it hasn't happened already, it's quite likely China will become the world's largest economy, surpassing the United States. Perhaps this isn't surprising in a country of 1.3 billion people that has embraced capitalism and seen its economy boom. But Joe, Rana, before we get to this question of whose economy is biggest, how much can we date China's meteoric rise to the response to Tiananmen Square?
You know, it's interesting. Post-Tiananmen Square, a lot of the energy that was in the country that was going into the idea of more freedom, more advance towards democracy, political activism, actually got channeled into new businesses, into entrepreneurship. So a lot of people that were politically active, in fact, started companies, and a number of new sectors of the economy were made into strategic sectors, which means that they're protected. That has makes it easier for the state to be in those sectors as opposed to foreign businesses. So there was, in one way, this dynamism that was in the political sphere that went into smaller businesses in the private sector, but there was also a ring fencing of certain types of the economy and certainly more control over the internet, over telecommunications, things like that.
There was also, I mean, let's face it, the Chinese government cut a deal with its people. You stay out of politics and let the government be the government and don't protest, and we'll give you a lot of economic freedom in return, and you can focus on money instead of democracy. And that's fundamentally what happened.
So when you look at how big China's economy has gotten, does it really matter here in the U.S. if it is bigger than our economy?
Well, I think in psychological terms it does matter. We have been king of the hill since the late 1800s. We like being king of the hill. The dollar is the most important currency in the world, and that gives the U.S. a lot of advantages. I don't think the Chinese economy, even if it is larger than ours, is going to displace the dollar. But on another level, it doesn't matter that much. We still have a much higher standard of living. China still has a lot of poverty, and they've actually got a long way to go to have a domestic economy that's anywhere near ours.
You know, I think Americans like to worry about other countries. You know, we worried about Japan in the 80s. We worried about China now. But the truth of the matter is that China may be big, but it's not necessarily stronger as an economy than the U.S. And I think that one good example of that is this recent cyber hacking story that's been in the news, where the U.S. Justice Department wants to indict a number of Chinese for stealing intellectual property from U.S. companies. And I think that underscores the fact that China is still largely a Me Too economy. They don't have global brands to the extent that the West does. They're still copying a lot, and they're doing a good job with copying. They're quick. They do it well. But in terms of creating an economy that really innovates, which is how you jump into the what's called the sort of middle-income class of countries, they haven't done that yet, and that's a huge challenge for them.
Well, are there some Chinese companies that have the clout of U.S. or other Western companies?
Not really. And part of the reason for that is it speaks to another weakness in the Chinese business culture, which is they don't brand very well. They have lots of companies, but with very rare exception, you don't really know what they are. And the truth of the matter is the Chinese consumer doesn't trust most Chinese brands.
Another thing that I hear when I'm in China is that entrepreneurs, business people, they don't trust the political stability of the country enough to believe that they're going to be able to stay for 20, 30, 40 years and grow a business the way you do in Japan, the way you do in the U.S. There's a kind of a get in, get out, take your money mentality that's still there because of political risk.
So is the growth we're seeing in China sustainable? If you look at the issues of income inequality, which are much more severe in China than here in the United States, if you look at the amount of pollution and other problems, sure, their economy now may be the world's biggest or soon to be, but are they able to keep that level of growth going?
So they're not going to be able to grow in the double digits as it did in the past. That's over. The question is, will they be able to jump to a more sophisticated kind of growth? And I think that you can see that in the environmental issues right now. You know, there is a big push to get rid of pollution, but When you close down factories, you slow the economy. Now, you want to move up the food chain. You want to go to not sort of low-level factory work, but higher-end service work that's less polluting. But that requires more innovation. It requires the protection of intellectual property. It requires better education. And so all of these things still have to be advanced, really, in order for that jump to take place.
So if we worry, though, about China's economy being larger than the U.S., I mean, does it really matter for the average American, or at least in the U.S., is it much more about domestic politics?
I think it's about politics, but politics can have economic consequences. I think trade issues are going to continue to grow. I think there's going to be a lot of friction around, you know, particular trade deals, potentially around currency manipulation. You know, you've seen the U.S. already coming out and accusing China of manipulating its currency, trying to take it to various, you know, international bodies, WTO, et cetera, for sanctions on that score. And I think that that's going to continue to grow.
You know, since this is the anniversary of Tiananmen Square, we ought to point out something else. I mean, in the 25 years that China has grown economically, it was widely assumed in the West that with economic growth would automatically come democracy. And one of the really interesting and somewhat sad aspects of life in China is that hasn't happened. The country has grown fantastically economically, and yet it remains a politically repressive state.
Well, finally, in the very little time that we have left, what are some of the other stories that you guys are watching in the weeks ahead, Joe?
Well, I am watching a story that's evolving around BNP Paribas, which is the next bank that's going to get its wrist slapped by the Justice Department and then some. The rumor has it that the bank will be forced to pay a fine of up to $10 billion for violating sanctions against Iran and several other countries. But the larger question, which remains to be seen, is whether this will be finally a case where the bank gets punished in ways beyond a fine. And that's what we're waiting to see.
Rana, what are you watching?
So I'm really interested in this fight between Hachette, the big book publisher, and Amazon.com. Big New York publishing houses, international publishing houses have been squaring off with Amazon for years now, really. This is the latest battle. They're duking it out as to who gets what cut of products that are sold via Amazon.com. And right now they can't come to terms. Amazon.com has made it tough for people to buy Hachette products online. There's some delays on shipping. Everybody in book publishing is watching this because it may determine what cut they get from Amazon.com in the future.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joan O'Sara with The New York Times, Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.